All right. Well, hey, welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church and to part four of our series called Different. We're actually bringing this series of discussions to a close. And would you thank Marnie for stepping up here and Shane? Amen. It's been a joy for me to have you up here,
man. Yeah. I'm really loud.
We're really loud.
I wanted to thank you all for welcoming me up here and for being such a gracious church family and audience for my first time being up here. It was pretty comfortable, and I'm just very grateful and privileged, so thank you.
So real quick, a quick refresher on where we've been. So throughout this series, we're talking about differences, and there are differences that we have been discussing on how God wants us to learn to live harmoniously with one another and share life with one another and experience the strengths and the benefits that come with the variety that he has designed and created us with. But there is one difference that is particularly dangerous and even damaging to the point that it can bring division and destruction in a relationship of any type, friendship, blood family, marriage, and that is a division based upon a difference that is of a spiritual paradigm. So when our spiritual paradigm is different, because remember, birthed out of the spiritual, that's the heart, come our value systems and how we look at life and how we understand that we're to engage life. And when others have a different spiritual paradigm, whether they claim to be atheist or extremely religious, if it's of a different spiritual paradigm, that is the one difference that tends to create the most friction. Wars have been birthed out of this difference. Marriages have been destroyed. Friendships have been lost. And so we just want to make that clear that this is the one difference that you will find particularly challenging. We do have good news for you, that God is a God of the impossible, that he loves everybody. And so if we have a friend or family member that is of, you know, not close with Jesus right now, the best thing you can do is love them well and represent Jesus well to them. Mm-hmm. And remember, friends, remember, I know that it will cross your mind many times throughout your relationship with them, but do not compromise, because you do them and you do yourself no favors. You don't do anyone any good when you start to loosen your grip on the Lord and make concession for the sake of unity. That doesn't help them. It only hurts. So keep your convictions, hold tightly to Jesus, and walk that walk. Beyond that, we have talked about differences in interests and preferences, and saw how God intends for our lives to be enriched and expanded by experiencing things that we otherwise would never choose on our own, because he brings us together with people that have a variety of different interests and preferences. And then on top of that, personality. We all are uniquely and intentionally designed different by the Lord with these personalities, and with them come strengths and weaknesses that we are meant to work together and help cover one another with. And we'll talk more about that later today as we talk about today's discussion. But a lot of times, remember, we learned that when it comes to personality, the challenge here is that a lot of times when we see so-called weaknesses or just differences, we sometimes view them as a weakness or something that's wrong, something that needs to be changed or fixed. And our job is not to go and try to change the other person's personality. It's simply that each of us are to value one another's personality and encourage one another to have our personalities tempered with that character and likeness of Jesus, okay? So today, we're going to wrap up this series by discussing a pretty important topic, and that is we're going to dive in to addressing specifically roles and functions. Because believe it or not, there's great confusion in this area, in our friendships, in our marriages, in our families, and a lot of times there's this additional ingredient that creates a real tension and even division of competition and this sense of trying to prove oneself to the other, and it just really becomes very, very divisive. So today, that's what we're going to be discussing, and I'm going to let Marnie kick things off.
So to start off, it is imperative that we understand that every person was created different on purpose and for a purpose, and that is in your outline. God intentionally created us different in personality, emotions, strengths, abilities, reasoning. He created us different to fulfill a specific purpose, role, and function in the home, society, and in the kingdom of God.
So when we talk about these differences, you know, last week we talked about the differences in personality and how God uniquely designed us personality-wise for a specific purpose. And the same thing is true in our roles and functions. And how many know that these differences, they're intentional, they are on purpose and for a purpose, and not everybody can be everything. For those of us that are into sports, how many know that the size and the build and the abilities that are necessary for a superstar quarterback are very, very different than a linebacker? Agreed? And what is needed, what you look for in a wide receiver is very, very different than a defensive end or a center. And I'm using football terminology there. But the reality is that these differences aren't something to be despised. They're not something to feel less than because you don't look the same or do the same things that other people do. The fact is God on purpose created you uniquely with certain abilities that you can do and certain things that you can't, and he did it on purpose. And we're going to talk about some of what that purpose is today.
And how many of us know, for another example, for a child to be carried into the world and birthed into the world, it requires a woman. We were made specifically with that purpose in mind.
However, it also takes a guy to be a part of that equation, right?
And all You're the guys, important too.
All the guys say amen and hallelujah that it's the woman that carries that child and gives birth to that child. However, it does take a guy, doesn't it? So each person has a specific role, a specific function that they were created to serve and perform in our world. And part of what's happening in our world today, and the reason we see such chaos and brokenness, is because we've become confused on this. And we have fallen into this idea that there's this huge competition that we got to be like everybody else or better than everybody else in order to have value and worth and to like ourselves or to feel that we are liked by others. And that is just not the case, friends. We are different. And we're different on purpose, and we're meant to serve and perform different roles.
That's right.
You know, how many know, and we say this at church, we say it outside of church, that God don't make no junk, right? Do we really believe that, though? That God doesn't make junk? That we are not a mistake? Do we believe that? Do we believe what God says about us, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? Do we believe that he really did make us on purpose and for a purpose? Then why do we look in the mirror and despise what we see? Friends, we have bought a lie. And we have swallowed it whole. God doesn't make junk. You are not a mistake. And the fact is that right now we've got to battle some prevailing attitudes and perceptions in our world that are very undermining of you being all that God made you to be. And I want to share them with you real quick. First of all, is this idea that you can be anything you want? Absolutely not true. Oh, I know, moms and dads. We spend our whole life parenting these little ones, saying, oh, honey, whatever you want to be. No. Some people cannot sing. And no matter what you do, they will never be able to sing.
That's true.
Friends, there are just certain things that we cannot do. And it doesn't matter how bad you want to. It doesn't matter how bad you believe it. There are things you can never be or do. Friends, it doesn't matter how much I believe it, how much I want it. Mike McAvoy would never become a woman or a bird. Think about this for a second. It does not matter how many physical alterations you make on my body. It does not matter how much I believe it, how much I get everybody else to affirm it, how much I want it. No matter how many alterations I make on the external part of my being, you can sew feathers onto my body, you can change my sexual parts on the outside, but you will never change that I am a male genetically and how my internal parts function. And you will never change that I am a human being, a man. I will never become a woman, and I will never become a bird. I will never give birth to a child. I'll never carry a baby. I'll never even be able to conceive a child in a womb that doesn't exist. And I will never be able to fly, no matter what we do. Are we tracking with this? This is common sense, but it is something that has gone bye-bye in society at large. And so we have chaos because we have lost our identity. We have lost who we are because we're so concerned about measuring up and being all these other things. Just be who God made you to be. When it says in the beginning, God created mankind, male and female, he created them. It says he created them as human. He became a living being. Not a living doing. Some of us are trying to do. We're trying to do this and do that to try to become something other than who we were created to be. Friends, we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting others. Because the fact is you are a human being. Just be. Be who God made you to be. Embrace it wholly and completely. There is another undermining mindset and attitude, and that is this. There is a huge hypersensitivity to anything that is different than what I want or feel or like, okay? This is another undermining mindset and attitude that is prevailing in our culture and society, where if you say something that is different, like, for example, what I just said, that there are things we cannot ever be or do. To hear somebody say something that I don't like, that is different than what I prefer or that I don't agree with, all of a sudden we have this hypersensitivity, friends, and we take these differences, these different opinions, and some of these things which are just plain, simple truths, we take offense at them, and we find ourselves feeling violated, and we consider them acts of aggression, be it microaggression or otherwise. Have we seen this in society? Yeah, it's everywhere. It's rampant. And we just have come to kind of accept this. But the fact is that our inability to accept reality, confront the differences, accept reality and confrontation, and then accept the differences, it has produced in society and in our lives a dysfunction in every way, and we are being robbed. We are being robbed of the unique person that God made us and the contribution that we were meant to make in our world, and we as individuals are being robbed of the life to the full that Jesus said he came to give us. You can't experience life to the full that Jesus wants for you, but spend your life trying to be something other than who Jesus made you to be. Do we get that? So we live in a society right now with this undermining mindset and attitude where people are spending their lives trying to become something other than who God made them to be. We have men that don't want to be men. We have women that don't want to be women. Adults that don't want to adult. We have husbands that don't want a husband. We have wives that don't want a wife. We have mothers that don't want a mother. Fathers that don't want a father. Are you tracking with this? We have workers that don't want to work. And we have leaders that don't want to lead. And then abuses abound in every one of those. So
we're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to start in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. God gave us gifts, and He wants us to use them. And God wants us to value who He made us and others to be. And that's in your outline.
Friends, different is by God's design. And in this text, you see that God was very intentional about these differences. He wants some people to do certain things and other people to do other things. And in fact, in the very beginning, when it describes how God created man and woman, we mentioned to you this at the beginning of the series, the words are different. When it describes Him forming the man of the dust of the earth, it literally means to take and mold like clay from the elements. But when it talks about God designing the woman, very, very different. Because first of all, she wasn't formed of the dust and the earth. The scripture describes that He caused man to go into a deep sleep. He took the rib of one of the ribs of the man, closed up the place, and then out of that bone built the woman. Intentional design and fabrication. He built her. He put her together. Very different than how He created man. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to just see those differences between male and female, and not just on the external parts. Look at how we engage the life and engage the world. We're different. Different is good.
It is good.
It's intentional and it's on purpose, but here's the problem. With those prevailing mindsets and attitudes that I just described earlier, we look at these differences and we feel less than because we're not like those other people. And we feel like, well, we want equality, right? We want equality in the world. And I believe in equality. The Bible teaches equality, but not in the sense of equal function. What the Bible teaches is equal value.
Value.
We are all equally loved and valued by God, and we are meant to love and value everyone because we all bring to the table something. We all bring to the table strengths and unique contributions that others don't bring. So when you think of this equality and finding your worth and your value in the world in which we live, understand it's equality in value, not equality in function.
Well, and one thing I wanted to share with each of you is just that each one of you were created on purpose for a purpose. Like, we don't just say it. We mean it. God means it. And as you seek Christ and learn more about Him and become more like Him, you're going to become more like yourself because you were created in the image of God Himself.
So many of us... Sorry, hon. Your hair was just kidding. So many of us have lost ourselves. We're really quite adrift. And we're wondering, what way do we go? And we're struggling. We're struggling in marriages. We're struggling in friendships. We're struggling in the family context of parenting. We're struggling in life. How do I handle food and drink? How do I handle entertainment? How do I handle career? You know, how big of a driving force are these things to be in my life? And we find ourselves just going every direction but the right one. And we're trying to figure out, who are we? And where's our value? Where's our worth? Because we inevitably find ourselves back to this place where we look at other people and we don't have what they have. We're not as popular as they are. We can't do what they can do. We're shaped differently than they are. And we struggle with it. And friends, we're here to tell you, don't buy into the world's pressure to conform and be like everybody else, because it's a big lie. You'll never be like somebody else because you are not them. Are we following that one? Friends, this is huge.
We are to complement, not compete with each other. And that's in your outline also.
So often, we spend our lives competing with one another. And I will say that in our marriage, for the most part, that hasn't
been. That's
something we didn't struggle with. We really didn't have any sense of competition of her trying to find her value and being able to do what I could do or vice versa. And so we kind of settled into that pretty easily.
Yes.
But
we were pretty excited to discover that as we were doing this series.
Yeah. So, but in your outlines, also notice that every gift has a unique function and contribution. So we're not supposed to compete with one another because there is no competition. Between an apple and an orange, there's no competition. They each serve a different purpose in your life. They are different in their texture, different in their flavor, different in what they bring into your body as you consume them. And friends, that's how it's supposed to be. Different is good.
Yes. Different implies variety in how it performs and what it offers.
Anything you want to share about that?
No? Not right now.
So variety, friends.
Go ahead.
Think about the world in which you live. How many different kinds of candy bars are there today? How many different kinds of soda pop out there? Different types of chips?
Yeah, we like variety in everything else. So why do we not like it in ourselves and in one another?
Why do we feel this pressure to try to measure up and be like other people when you weren't created to be like other people?
No.
And we not only do we like variety, but God likes variety.
Yep.
Amen?
God created you to be you, and you are good, and you are beautiful.
And this variety is meant to make our world a much richer and more beautiful place.
That's
to look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I want you to circle the word gift. I want you to circle the word received. I want you to circle the word faithful. And I want you to circle the word various. And then I want you to underline the phrase serve others, and I want you to underline the phrase stewards of God's grace. Because in this text, friends, we see several things, and Marnie and I are going to unpack them, but before we do, I just want you to make note that whatever abilities you have, in fact, all that you are, tell me something. Did you pick what color of eyes you were going to have? Did you pick whether you would be taller or shorter, of a huskier build or a more fragile build?
Fragile flower.
Did you pick whether you would have carpentry skills or mechanical skills or artistic skills? Did you choose whether you would be good with mathematics or grammar? Think about this for a second. Did you choose that you would be able to do the number of push-ups and pull-ups that you could do? That you could run as fast as you could run? See, the skills and the abilities and all that you are is God's gift to you. Now, you can take the gifts that God has given you and you can hone them. Mm-hmm. You can build upon them and you can sharpen them. So something that you do really well, you can become great at it. But if you suck at something, I'm sorry, you can work on it all you want. You'll become maybe moderately good, but you will never become great in an area that you are very, very poor at. You didn't choose those things. These are God's gift. You received them. And because you received them, we have a responsibility to be faithful in them, to use them to serve others, right? And notice the variety. See, when you use them, we're communicating God's goodness in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. So, the first thing I want you to see, though, is that in our variety, in our differences that we see here in this text, God made us interdependent.
We need one another.
So we need one another. You can't do it all. You may be a great builder or painter or mechanic, but that doesn't mean you should do your own accounting. Okay? You may be great at a lot of things, but there are certain things you just shouldn't do. We need one another.
Right. And secondly, we want you to notice that in your outlines, every gift has its limitations, its strengths and weaknesses, and we need every gift to cover and to carry the other gifts and weaknesses.
So we all have strengths and weaknesses, friends, and our strengths are meant to cover right. and to carry for the weaknesses of the others around us. A lot of times we think of weakness as a cuss word. We think it's a bad word. And friends, you know, something being weak in a certain area isn't necessarily acknowledging that and identifying that isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, if you think about it, my grandmother, who just passed away here a year and a half ago almost, she gave Marnie and I some different things before she left this world. And they're old. How many know that acknowledging that something is old and acknowledging that there's a weakness to it, that it's fragile, doesn't devalue it at all? It actually is an identification. It's an acknowledgement that there's value in this. We got to treat it carefully and treat it as though it's precious, right? So don't look at the acknowledgement of a weakness in your life. Don't look at that as a slam or a negative. Don't look at it as someone's devaluing you, because the fact is we all have those weaknesses, and what that does is it makes our life precious. It means that we need one another, and it means that in those areas, we need special care from one another, right? We have great value that we bring to the table and what we can do, but even in the areas that we can't, right, we need that special help.
Our weaknesses allow someone else's strengths to be used.
Right.
So.
That's absolutely right.
That's good. Thirdly, we are to be faithful managers of the gift that God has made us. We are to be faithful to do our part and not someone else's part. So we're not supposed to be focusing on other people and what they're doing and how well they do it. We're supposed to be focusing on what God has made us to do and how he's made us and what he has made us good at.
And it's hard to be faithful in who God made you to be if you're trying to be somebody else and do what they're supposed to be doing. So fill your spot. play your role. Mm-hmm. Do your thing, right?
Right.
And notice in your outlines that for life to go well and right, we must function within the parameters of God's design and structure in relationships. And you may not realize this, but for every type of relationship that is out there, God has something to say about how we are to interact with one another and about the roles that we are to play and the boundaries that we are supposed to operate within. Every kind of relationship you will notice in marriage, and I've given you a list of scriptures with each one of these that your homework is to go home and to read through these and get a heads up on what does God say about your relationship, your marriage, about your parenting relationship, about how you relate with coworkers, right. And so on. And so notice in your outlines, marriage is one of those relationships, and there is a oneness, there is a structure, and a unique responsibility that we each play and that we each contribute to within this relationship of marriage. A husband's and wives, as husbands and wives try to redefine their contribution, friends, to the relationship, and as we abdicate the responsibilities that God has given us in our relationships, things fall apart. Why are marriages struggling the way that they are? Because we have drifted from how God has said to do them. And we can argue and we can deny and we can resist God's design, but even social science has proven that this is true nonetheless. For example, when we talk about the influence of the husband and the father in a home. Mm-hmm. So check this out. As a church, or even as a marketing industry like selling clothing, did you know that studies show that if we as a church, if we reach a child between 10 and 12% of the time, we will reach the rest of the family, siblings, mom and dad. If we reach a wife and mother, then 17% of the time, we will reach her husband and the children. But if we reach the dad, the husband and father of the home, 93% of the time, we will be able to reach the wife and the children. Social science proves what God has always said regarding the structure of the home. And social science has also measured and documented the absence of that father figure and that male leadership within the home and its negative effect. And it's not pretty. So marriage, friends, God has a lot to say about its structure and how each one of us are meant to bring something to the table. There's something seriously missed when we don't do it God's way. Family is another one, notice in your outlines, and there's a few scriptures there. When parents, again, abdicate their leadership role and they try to be more like friends with their kids, we don't do them any favors. And when children usurp authority and leadership within the home, and they try to rule the roost, again, bad things happen. God has an intended structure for how this is supposed to work.
And one of the observations that Mike and I have made over the years with our children, and they were all really similar on this aspect, but when they were younger, they were very attached to me. They were very attached to mom. They wanted mom all the time. And as they got older and into their tweens, they wanted nothing to do with me. In fact, they kind of separated themselves from me. And that could be a little hurtful, but I had to realize that it was okay. Like, because they needed different things in their life, and it was something that he could provide. And so it was, this is his opportunity for him to speak into their lives in a different way than I did when they were younger. And then I recognized that with Hannah, Hannah. She's older now. And Hannah has balanced out a lot. She favors both of us. And Mikey is starting to do the same thing. And Eli, he's a tween. So I'm his enemy. But I love you, though, Eli. So anyway.
So, friends, there are different roles when it comes to this parenting thing. So husbands and wives, that's one thing, but because you're going to stay, hopefully, husband and wife, to death do you part. But when it comes to your children, friends, different seasons, parents play different roles in the lives of their children. And dad plays a certain role when they're little. And we want to see close relationships with parents and children all through the children's lives. But
absolutely.
The fact is that, you know, they really were mama's kids as little ones.
I used to have to hold Mikey on the stage while I sang because he wouldn't leave me.
So there's a nurturing side to this whole thing that moms bring into this. And it's not that dads can't and don't, but it's just different. And as our kids entered into the teens, we observed, you know, that dad played a different role. There was definitely this kind of leadership that they needed to, and authority that they needed to kind of bring and rein them in and give them, accountability and boundaries. So be prepared, moms and dads, that this is not something that is just a cookie cutter and stays the same all through. With your children, the fact is that according to God's word, your roles change over time. For example, when they age into adulthood, your role changes.
That's a hard one.
You're no longer just this authority figure. You actually start to shift into more of an advisory role. But, moms and dads, that means you have to let go. A lot of times we actually have this prolonged adolescence in our society today. We keep our children babies and immature far too long. And they don't learn how to navigate life on their own, and we buffer them from the pains, okay? And that does not do them any help. If you're always picking up the pieces from their broken mess, then you're hurting them, not helping them. We cannot enable our children. They need to learn how to live life. And you are the person you are because you learned from your mistakes, hopefully. Or you're in them now, and we're encouraging you to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
But parents, we've got to let our children grow up. We've got to let them feel the pain. We've got to be there to give them counsel and encouragement through that.
Right.
But we can't live their lives for them. We can't be their authority all the days of their life. We need to let them go. And I want to share a word about step-parenting because I am one. You know, when it comes to step-parents, listen, do not abdicate your leadership and influence that you bring into that home. Your role is important. And you have something to bring into that relationship. You are a leader. You are an authority figure. You are an influencer and a role model. And yes, the relationship between you and that child may be slightly different because you're not the biological parent, but you are nonetheless a leader within that home. And you need to understand that, and you need to live like that.
Absolutely. And being the biological parent of our oldest son, I had to learn not to undermine Mike. I've seen the biological parent, they just undermine. They don't even allow the step parent to discipline the child. And I really, this, and I mean this with all the love, but if you do not trust, if you're engaged to someone or dating them and you do not trust them to parent your child, don't marry them. And if you did marry them, why? If you do not trust them to parent your child, why?
The reality is, friends, is that we do more harm than good when we tie the hands of the people that we believe God has brought us together with to share life together with.
Mm-hmm.
If we, you know, think this person is marriage material, you had to consider that they were also parent material.
Absolutely.
And they can't just be good enough to parent the biological children that you both share. They also have to be good enough to parent the child that you brought into the relationship, that they were willing to take on as a responsibility and probably won't get much out of it as far as like a return, if you want to think of it in that way. So, and I will say that that's something that Marnie has been really, really great at. With this, notice some of the other relationships that God has given us instruction on, how we engage in society at large, you know, whether you're an older person, younger person, people of the opposite sex, God gives instruction how we are to engage in society, in employment, in spiritual leadership. There are positions of spiritual authority that God has established, and how we relate with those positions, God does have something to say about that. Also notice government leadership. Listen, I realize that there may be a person in our office of president right now that some may really, really like and others may really, really despise. I don't care who is in office. The Bible says that we have a Christian duty.
That's right.
To respect that office. And to pray for those in positions of authority. Not talk nasty, not speak degradingly or vulgarly about them. I don't care how much you agree or disagree. This isn't just true of a president, it's true of anybody that you cross paths with. You're not to hate on them and speak trash about them. Jesus said, love your enemy. So if you really look at somebody in a position of authority as an enemy, love them. I know that might be salt in the wound for some of us, but listen, you're either a Jesus follower and you're going to do it his way, or you're fooling yourself and you're just doing your own thing, but being religious about it. So, speaking of even our enemies, you'll notice in your outlines that God has something to say about how we relate with those. So we're going to wrap things up. Notice in your outlines that when you abandon or abdicate, the word abdicate, by the way, means to fail to fulfill, to disown or reject or renounce. So to not do your part. So when you abandon or abdicate who God made you to be, you introduce chaos, brokenness, and pain. So many of us wonder why things are such a mess and it's so broken. It's because, friends, we have either abandoned or abdicated who God has made us to be. And we are operating as someone or something other than who he made us to be.
And some of that was really heavy, but there is good news. No matter what your past or your present is, with repentance, which is when we turn away from the wrong way and we turn toward Jesus's way, God is in the business of healing and restoring right relationships. So in Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And if you would underline repent and underline the word near.
The fact is, friends, no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, Amen. Here's the good news, that Jesus loves you. That he is drawing near to you. Notice that heaven is near. And how do we get there? How do we experience God's blessings, God's life in our life here on earth? The answer is repent, which means to turn. Turn away from the wrong way and turn to Jesus' way.
And repentance, sometimes it's not just one time. I mean, sometimes you have to practice.
Repentance is something you may have to do several times a day.
Absolutely.
Okay. But the point is that as we learn to do life God's way, we get God's results. Let me share with you this promise as we close. In the book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 6, and if you want to write that down, you can. Micah chapter 4, verse 6. Here's a promise of God that when we repent, God says he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. And I think it's safe to say that God will turn the hearts of the husband to the wife.
Absolutely.
And the wife to the husband. God will turn the grandchildren to the grandparents and vice versa, and he'll turn, you know, neighbors towards one another.
Co-workers. Absolutely.
And, you know, I'll just share this as we wrap up. You know, we've shared a bit, not everything, but we've shared a bit about our relationship and the differences that we've had over the years and how we have, you know, learned to live in harmony with one another and experience this rich relationship. But, you know, I had a neighbor one time where he and I, you know, I was just, I really didn't do anything to offend this person or to do them wrong. But some things happened that they took offense at. And for years, this relationship between me and one of my neighbors was very full of tension, and it was awkward and weird. And they had issues with me. And so we prayed for them and just loved on them. I could have gotten my feelings hurt because literally this went on years. It wasn't just a couple days, weeks, or even months. We're talking years.
I wasn't as good at it as you. I would hide because I was a little afraid. But...
So it was.
I wasn't mean to them, and
Marnie,
I love them.
Marnie dealt with it kind of by avoiding because it was hard for her.
Yeah.
But I just loved on him. You know, as opportunities to bless him arose, the opportunities to shovel a walk or to just say hi or to wave, even when they give me the stink eye. You know. you know what happened over time is, it slowly tore that wall of division down. And today, you know, I have a good relationship with that neighbor. In fact, better than ever.
Yes,
really.
Absolutely.
And so I just want to encourage you that God is in the business of turning hearts. So whatever relationship it is that you find yourself struggling in right now, it might be your marriage. It might be with your child or grandchild, or it might be with a neighbor or a coworker. I just want to encourage you. Go over those scriptures that you have listed in there. They're not in there to waste ink and paper. They're there as a reference for you to dig in for yourself to see what does God say about how to navigate and operate within these relationships. And then do it. And you will be pleasurably surprised at just how God meets you and works in their life. Amen?
Amen.
So let's take a moment to pray. And as we pray, I just want to ask you, are you doing it Jesus' way? Are you following Jesus today? Have you put your trust in him? And if by chance the answer is no, but you sense God tugging on your heart today, that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're tired of doing it the way everybody else is doing it and trying to be like everybody else and measure up to everybody else, and you just want to be who God made you to be, and you just want to do things God's way and get God's results, if that's the decision you want to make today, then I want to invite you to say a simple prayer with our church family. And if by chance you have prayed that prayer before, but you have loosened your grip on Jesus and you have drifted a bit, and you find yourself back into the rat race that everyone else is running. But today God is pulling on your heart saying, it's time to refocus. It's time to reorient and draw near to God and recommit your life to doing things his way. If that's you, then I want to invite you to say this same prayer of commitment. Let's pray this together as a church family. Say, Father God.
Father God.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
For wanting me.
For wanting me.
And coming after me.
And coming after me.
Thank you for doing for me.
Thank you for doing for me.
What I could never do for myself.
What I could never do for myself.
That I could never earn.
That I could never earn.
Or deserve.
Or deserve.
I confess.
I confess.
I've lived selfishly.
I've lived selfishly.
I've done my own thing.
I've done my own thing.
My own way.
My own way.
And I've hurt myself.
And I've hurt myself.
I've hurt others.
I've hurt others.
And I've hurt you.
And I've hurt you.
And I was wrong.
And I was wrong.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Today I ask Jesus.
Today I ask Jesus.
To be king.
To be king.
And ruler of my life.
And be ruler of my life.
I devote myself.
I devote myself.
To do things your way.
To do things your way.
To become your person.
To become your person.
Who you made me to be.
Who you made me to be.
That I may get.
That I may get.
Your results.
Your results.
For your glory and pleasure.
For your glory and pleasure.
And my benefit.
And my benefit.
And the benefit of the world.
And the benefit of the world.
To my last breath.
To my last breath.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.